This kind of choice is not built upon willpower or I'm going to try or it's a good idea if I stop doing fill in the blank. No. This kind of choice is an immovable object. This kind of choice is an agreement with spirit, a covenant with God, if you want to put it that way. And if you're an atheist, it's a partnership with truth itself, all the way down to your core. And in my opinion, until this choice has been made, big problems in recovery will keep resurfacing. Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Sober Shaman Podcast. And we're going to talk about choice and a very particular kind of choice. And until it's made, either recovery is going to be suspect to relapse or fragile, and or these recurring themes and issues are going to keep popping up, and their danger value of these old issues that keep popping up are going to be strong until this kind of choice is made. And I'd like to give credit to Adam PT from Substack. When I read his post a couple weeks back and I commented on this choice, and it's really been sticking with me. So I'll give credit in the show notes and I'll link up to his post. And what it talks about, what he talks about there is a smart recovery group that stuck with him. And in this smart recovery group, it introduced the idea of the fire triangle. This fire triangle is composed of three sides, triangle, and three ingredients to keep fire burning and or started in the first place. And you have fuel, oxygen, and heat. And you got to have all three of those to start and keep the fire going. And what this smart recovery makes is this analogy then to take those three ingredients of the fire triangle and plug it into relapse prevention for sobriety and addiction. And for them, they use opportunity, cravings, and choice. And I love this, and I've been really diving into this, and I've been looking at it. Opportunity, cravings, and choice. Now, opportunity is an external set of circumstances that happen, that get dropped in our lap. Oh, what a surprise! I found myself sitting at a bar. No, it's not a surprise. There are, what is that saying, right? There's 100 decisions before the final decision is made. So, but sometimes there is that initial opportunity that does get plopped in our lap. It's going to happen. Opportunity will present itself. So these external factors, these sets of circumstances, whether we can think of them beforehand or not, are coming. They're going to happen. It's kind of inevitable. All right. There's that. Cravings. This is complicated in that it gets complicated quick. I like to use my first principle, where addiction affects the whole person, mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical, a craving. What is it? Is it mental? Is it spiritual? Is it emotional? And is it or is it physical? Well, many of the times it can be all four or combinations of the four, which is why discussions on cravings can get complicated. And it's a combination of internal and external. In other words, when opportunity presents itself, all of a sudden now I have a craving. So these external factors have triggered my internal reactions, which have co now caused mental, spiritual, emotional reactions. And I've got the endocrine firing juices, and my brain's thinking thoughts, and all kinds of things are happening. Spiritually, I want to feed the black wolf, and physically, I can feel these things happening in my body. So we've covered all four right there. So that is another inevitable situation, external and internal factors upon which I can break it down, look at each one, mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical, put tools in place, put structures into place, put systems into place to help me when the inevitable arises. All right. Which brings us to the last part of the triangle, choice. And this is why I want to focus on this part of the triangle, and why I make such a big deal about it is because, again, until a choice has been made to not use again, the other two parts of the triangle are going to have more power, have more influence, and be more likely to cause relapse, to make relapse a reality. Let's put it that way. If the choice hasn't been made, the other two aspects of the triangle, opportunity and cravings, are much more likely to manifest a relapse than if a choice has been made to not use again. And this choice that I'm talking about is this immovable internal decision of no matter what happens, I'm not using again. All right. Another reason why I focus on this choice. And I've been focusing on this choice in the last couple of weeks with a few of my clients because I realized I've made a mistake. That's a judgment, but I've made this particular approach and I'm not taking my own advice, which is we could spend any type of approach to help in recovery can spend an exorbitant amount of time and energy and money looking at examining the opportunity and the cravings. I know, I'll speak for myself. As a provider, I can spend too much time. Break it. Oh, you're curious about how that affects you emotionally. Well, here's your YouTube video. Here's a book. And oh, how did that book go? And then years can get lost in these ruminations, machinations, successes and failures. And not to say that we don't need to prepare for the inevitable opportunities that are coming and the inevitable cravings that will be arising. We absolutely do. And I notice until the foundation of the choice has been made to the level upon which I'm going to try to articulate here in this episode, we're going to run into problems. Or problems are coming anyway, But those problems can be dealt with so much easier because the choice has already been made and is a foundation of no, I do not give myself permission in any way, shape, or form to go into the using and the actions of my old drugs or actions of choice. Boom, that's it. There is no choice. I've removed choice by making the choice to remove choice. Yes. All right, let's go into this a little bit further. It gets very yin-yang-y. It's like, well, do I have a choice or don't I have a choice? We do have a choice. We have to make the choice that I'm going to keep using these same lines of known in the bones. When we make this kind of choice, it's a choice that speaks to a truth at the deepest part of our being. When I finally got sober, oh, Randy, it's just like you've been sober since that date. What? You just did it and that was it? It's like, well, yeah, I just did it and that was it. Finally. And as is the case, I will say with most of the people that I speak with who are in early recovery and/or struggling with addictions and relapses, is that it's not necessarily this external forced reason that causes permanent, right? I'll say permanent sobriety, the intention of permanent sobriety followed by actions that back it up. Let's put it that way. What I mean by that is forced sobriety can come in the form of legal problems, right? A lawyer telling us, dude, if you don't do this and you breathalyzer and ankle bracelet, that's it. You've had enough chances, strikes, you're out. Okay, I don't want to go to jail again. I don't want to have to pay this fine again. I don't want to, enough is enough, right? In the form of a doctor. Geez, your liver's shot, dude. You're going to have to stop. Otherwise, here's the consequences. Spouses, if you don't stop, we're done. Career, this is your last chance. We're done. Despite these external forces being maybe the point of the spear, maybe the impetus that gets somebody into treatment or gets them over the hump of denial. Fantastic that they've made this progress. But is this external factor going to be enough to cause the internal decision? Okay. Enough is enough. I get it. I make the choice. Whether you want to call that surrendering my will, it does feel like a surrender, absolutely. And at the same time, it is a conscious choice to do that and to enter into sobriety willingly. That is an internal decision, maybe because of external factors, and/or maybe it's just, and this is the more common scenario, water dripping on, the rock to eventually you wake up one day, enough is enough. Enough is enough. And I find that that is It may not even be a relapse that causes extreme harm. Maybe you've dodged another bullet with the last relapse, and that was enough to get it. Or maybe you're just tired of waking up feeling this way, or not waking up, staying up all through the night and showing up at the job, at the family, whatever, that way. I find that most of the time, it's the water on the rock. It's not a parting of the sea kind of situation to where now I see the light. Usually we come to these decisions, this internal decision, this choice. Enough is enough without another great wake-up call. Maybe sometimes it will be, but I'm just saying that I notice that the people who struggle get it like water on a rock. And to the outside world looking in, nothing may look different. But to the person who's made this kind of choice from the inside out, I'm going to use collective language because this is where I've been. We've tried 1,000 times. I don't know. Randy, how many times have you used, drank? I don't know. But it's a lot, right? Well, guess what? I've tried a lot of times. Pretty much after stopping one of those situations, can't do this anymore, right? But I hadn't made that choice, even though there was plenty of external forces that made it rather apparent that what are those two sayings, right? The addiction either ends in sobriety, the jail, or the morgue. There's the choice. And all right. So about this choice, Randy, okay, I want to make this choice. What does that look like? How is that any different than me wanting, desiring to, squeezing willpower into this situation? I'll say it this way. This kind of choice is an internal decision to an external factor. All right, so we may have these external forces that make it clear to us we cannot use anymore. The repercussions and the ramifications of our usage make it very clear that if we keep going like this, it's not good. We should stop, and maybe we do. But in order to make the choice, okay, we have the external coming in. Now the internal, that's the yang coming in, from the yin, internally, I make the decision. And as I just said, I make a decision with accountability to and in partnership with this external factor, force, whatever you want to call it, because this is the sober shaman, I will say spirit. So, if you call, hang with me, you atheists and agnostics, if you call this external accountability force, God, spirit, my ancestors. Great. It gives a little bit of a face to what I'm being held accountable to in partnership with. It's not a one-way street. It's not just, oh, I'm accountable to. No, it's in partnership with. It's I feed. And it feeds me back, as we talk about in basic shamanic terms and basic spiritual terms and basic energetic terms, right? All right. So for you agnostics and atheists, this concept also holds true. Taoists too. If we call that external force truth, a truth that is at the core of the universe, is at the core of the creation of the universe, is at the core of us, is the truth that we know in our bones that I keep talking about, internal, external. There is an analogous ringing of the bell. There is a harmony of truth that when we are in this kind of right relation, boom, that's the choice that we make to where the relapse triangle falls apart. It doesn't matter what kind of opportunity presents itself, and it doesn't matter what kind of cravings arise. It just doesn't matter because I have made this covenant, I love that word, a deep binding agreement with the truth. The truth that is so deep in my bones that I know I cannot violate it. I cannot violate it. I have to surrender, obey, make this choice. There is this both yin and yang, the external factors and my internal responsibility. It's just no. It's just no. Until that kind of choice is made in partnership with this external force, the universe, truth, God, your helping and compassionate spirit thereof, and you build upon that relationship and you use that relationship and you are in partnership with that relationship daily, the other two parts of the triangle hold more power. I'll give you my example. Once I made this choice, I enjoyed kind of being a bit of a masochist and poking at those other two sides of the triangle because they are inevitable, because opportunity will present itself, because cravings will arise. So once I felt like, oh, I got a few wins under my belt. This feels different since I've made this choice. I'm going to consciously poke at these situations. I don't recommend this. And we all test ourselves. And one of the tests that I can do like a magic trick, always, even just thinking about it, I'm making the hair on the back of my neck stand up and on the edge of my arms. And I'm thinking about lines of cocaine, a bunch of shots of tequila, and all of the various correct people. How's that? That could be involved with one of these situations from my past that, whoa, what would this be like right here, right now? Oh, huh? Do I get any craving? You're damn right I do. Is it, if you looked me up on a functional MRI, are those parts of my brain firing like 4th of July? Probably. Like I said, I'm a little bit of a masochist. It's like, I kind of enjoy this. I do enjoy this reminder that no is so much stronger. The choice I made of no is so much stronger that I can call upon these physiological, these emotional, these spiritual, and these mental thoughts of craving, and see that they do not hold the kind of power compared to this choice. It's no comparison. There's no way I am going to listen to those cravings. And I'm not going to do this on a daily basis. It's like it's a nice magic trick that I can pull out every once in a while. Yeah. when the situation arises. But I'm not going to keep poking this bear. I don't need to, because I already know. I know that I am not going to fall prey to quote-unquote just cravings. Do cravings arise when opportunity arises? For me, opportunity was never a big deal. I made opportunity. Opportunity was every day. So when sobriety happened, opportunity wasn't one of my big triggers. My biggest trigger was that choice. I never made that choice. And so, what are the ramifications of not making the choice? The ramifications of not making the choice, and well, I'm going to try again. I'm going to see. I'm really going to put some good tools into place. I'm going to follow this system. And I feel like I got my willpower recharged. I'm ready to go this time. And all of that's great. And if you haven't made the choice, what's really different? Have you just swapped out one system for another? So the ramifications are, by not making this choice, you put so much pressure on a new system to avoid, ameliorate, deal with those opportunities that are going to arise, and those cravings that are going to be felt. It's important. And until the decision of the choice has been made, immovable objects versus unstoppable forces versus immovable objects, right? The offense versus the defense, the yang versus the yin. It doesn't matter what kind of force, opportunity, craving comes from the outside if I've established my immovable no. It's immovable. And that immovability is not just based upon me and my decision. It's based upon my ongoing partnership with external accountability. God, Spirit, the Tao, truth. We know it's a truth. So anything else is my weaselly little brain's way of trying to get around the truth. Hey, Randy, I am a doctor, and I'm showing you external factors of this. Okay, I won't use me because I'm not Irish, but hey, fill in your Irish name of choice here. You can't drink anymore. You're not going to make it. Look at this liver. It's no good. Kaput. That's an external factor. I'm going to use this Irish person who's getting this news's weaselly brain, which is kind of the same as all of ours. And the excuse would be, I'm Irish. We've drunk our liver over centuries and millennium to be superior to other livers. You know what? I can do it again. He doesn't understand this Irish thing and that I can go. This was the reason why I'm using this is because this is an argument that was presented to me. If the external factor is the only thing that is going to be, it's important for the external factor to break through denial, maybe layers of denial. Very important. And then there still needs to be this internal choice. I get it. And not because of the liver, but also because of the liver in this case. Because we know that addiction isn't going to be just about the condition of our physical bodies and how it deteriorates. There's 100 other factors, people, situations that have been affected by our actions. And so, this deep knowing choice is not just, again, I'm going to hammer home this one bit of what may make the Sober Shaman, this podcast, this episode, maybe throw a monkey wrench into your way of thinking. It's not just an internal choice and decision. It is also an internal choice and decision to be accountable to spirit, this external factor, God, your religion of choice. If that doesn't work for you, truth. And we know this truth. Even as an atheist, we know this truth to be true because it rings a bell all through our being. I was going to say through our soul, but if you're an atheist, I don't know if you, right? All through our being. And when this kind of truth gets introduced to us and does hit the harmonies in all of our mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical bodies, you can't back away from that. You can, but now you know you're backing away from it. So you can no longer, you have to pretend that you don't know anymore, right? And we don't want to do that. Truth, call it truth, even if you do have a spirit and or a religion that you use to make this choice and this covenant with. How does this land with you? How does the truth land with you in making a choice? Unequivocally, the truth is, I cannot use anymore. It's off the table. As I've heard Tim Ferriss make famous, I make one decision so I don't have to make 100 other decisions. I make this one decision so I don't have to make 100 other decisions about opportunity, about cravings, about 100 other issues. The answer is no. Because I've made this kind of choice. I hope this brings a little insight. I hope this might challenge you in some kind of way that maybe you have made this kind of choice, but maybe haven't thought of it as a covenant with. Maybe you have. I have spoken to many people who have. This is exactly the kind of choice that I've made. And maybe you're an atheist and struggling with this idea of external accountability. You use truth. Maybe this adds another layer, another flavor, another dimension. to truth with a capital T, the archetype of truth, the truth that is imbued up with the whole universe, with the fabric of the universe, which is the start of the, however you want to view it. Maybe it works for you in this new way and or reinforces the way you've been using, but adds maybe a different language to it. I'd love to hear your take on it. Have you made this kind of choice? And if you're a provider, how do you deal with somebody who hasn't yet made this kind of choice? And how do you get them to be more ready to, you can drag them to the water, but to drink from this choice, right? I'd love to hear it. Any and all opinions, I just love discussing it. So thank you for listening. Again, as always, hit the little like button and subscribe to wherever you get this platform. It's greatly appreciated. Till next time, blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.